Anwar Ibrahim's journey to the top job in Malaysia has been anything but smooth. A prime minister in waiting for decades, he has clashed with the nation's most powerful figures and was jailed twice. Can he now deliver the reform he says the country needs?
Unless there is a clear political commitment, resolve to change, I don't believe Malaysia will survive.
Anwar says he'll stamp out corruption and unite a country divided by racial politics. But new threats challenge his ambitions.
The question on everyone's mind is whether or not Anwar Ibrahim's administration can last the full term.
101 East joins Anwar Ibrahim as he navigates his first 6 months in power. We examine the challenges ahead for him and Malaysia.
It's a day many Malaysians thought would never come. Anwar Ibrahim striding the country's corridors of power as Prime Minister.
I'm no longer the opposition leader, and you have to deliver. And it requires a lot of patience. I'm more tolerant to criticisms.
His rise has been a turbulent journey. Reform has been Anwar's catch cry for the past 25 years. Now it's time to put his words into action.
Have you found it easier to be an opposition leader, to be the proverbial freedom fighter, than it is to lead a country?
Well, in a way, you are right. Because as opposition leader, you feel, you know, you, no inhibition, you feel you can just blurt it out. I've been fighting corruption all my life. But now, I can make sure that the anti-corruption agencies is more effective, more determined to act against the corrupt.
Anwar Ibrahim began his career as part of Malaysia's political establishment, rising through the ranks of the ruling party in the 1980s and 90s to the office of Deputy Prime Minister. But he clashed with his boss, then Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad, over policy issues. Sacked in 1998, he was charged with sodomy and abuse of power, jailed for 6 years and beaten up by the police chief.
The night I was badly assaulted, I was thinking of my parents, Aziza and the family. Because of the severity of the attack, I thought I would not survive.
The charges were widely seen as a move to end Anwar's career. But his wife, Wan Aziza, a former doctor, kept it on life support. Thrust into politics, she stood in for Anwar to lead a fledgling opposition party while he was behind bars.
I told myself, be strong. I will not give the whoever did this to us the satisfaction of seeing me break.
Seeking justice for Anwar became a family affair. Aziza and their teenage daughter, Nurul Iza, campaigned internationally for his release. Both went on to contest elections to keep his ambitions alive.
The fight will still go on regardless anything that happens. Thank you.
It was sometimes frustrating for us children to have to be courageous and brave all the time. But I think having him lead the way with action, that kind of gave us some degree of acceptance and strength.
Anwar was released in 2004. His opposition alliance gained popularity as the ruling coalition faced mounting cases of corruption. But Anwar's rise was thwarted again in 2015 when he was jailed for sodomy a second time.
My father has always taught us to understand challenges and tribulations are all relative. We could visit him in prison. He would never allow us to tear up or to be sad. It was always filled with laughter, even if it was an underground dungeon.
After another 3 years in prison, Anwar was released in 2018, following a royal pardon from Malaysia's king. His political coalition had joined forces with his former enemy, Mahathir Mohamad, to win the election that year. They capitalised on public anger at then-Prime Minister Najib Razak and the multi-billion dollar 1MDB corruption scandal, ending Barisan's 6 decades in power. New PM Mahathir promised to hand the reins to Anwar after 2 years. But that agreement and the government collapsed after just 22 months.
We begin with breaking news out of Malaysia, where the Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad has offered his resignation to the king and his political party has quit the ruling alliance.
Is it harder for you to trust people now?
Yeah, but people change. We make mistakes in the past, but you're given the opportunity. Why impose such harshness on others?
Today, his nemeses have fallen from grace. Najib is in prison, serving 12 years after he was convicted for his role in the 1MDB scandal. Mahathir suffered a crushing defeat in the 2022 general election. But Anwar now has to partner with an enemy again. Now that Anwar Ibrahim is Prime Minister, how do you feel?
Relieved, yet apprehensive. Things are more complicated. We have to, you know, be a combination of parties that we were not really very friendly with before. And it's a chance that we have to take.
Anwar faced the uncertainty of an unprecedented hung parliament after the November 2022 election. His coalition Pakatan Harapan, or the Alliance of Hope, won the most seats. But not enough for a simple majority to form the government. Anwar came to power after signing a pact with minority parties, including bitter rivals Barisan. The once mighty Barisan suffered heavy losses at the polls, but its controversial leader, Ahmad Zahid Hamidi, has been appointed the Deputy Prime Minister.
While that was heavily criticised by many, it was also seen as a necessary political compromise.
Tricia Yeo is a political analyst. She's been scrutinising how the Game of Thrones unfolds. Zahid faces a slew of corruption charges, but as a kingmaker, he stays as Anwar's number two, unless found guilty in court.
If not for having Zahid Hamidi as the Deputy Prime Minister, the entire equation would have fallen apart anyway. The government wouldn't have been formed, there would have been no Anwar Ibrahim as Prime Minister to speak of.
Given that you depend on a very diverse coalition of parties to stay in power, do you think you can still implement the reforms that you promised?
The diverse political party, yes. But what is essential? Do all of them agree that this country would go to the dogs if we do not take up measures to affect change now? They agree. Do they agree the central problem is the issue of good governance? Yes. Do they agree that corruption has been endemic in this country? Yes. I mean, that's really important. And then, of course, we adjust policies. I'm not a dictator. I'm a prime minister in a democratic country.
Anwar Ibrahim has already made enemies with powerful people.
Adakah saya rasuah? Yang tuduhnya siapa? Tidak lain daripada Anwar Ibrahim, Perdana Menteri Malaysia.
Former Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin is on trial for money laundering and abuse of power. He is accused of using his position to receive $51 million in bribes into his party's bank account. He rejects the allegation, saying the money was for projects to help the people and the economy. Muhyiddin's coalition narrowly lost to Anwar's in the 2022 election.
saya dilihat sebagai pencabar utama kepada Anwar Ibrahim dan Zahid Hamidi. Jadi sebab itu saya telah pun dijadikan mangsa pendakwaan politik terpilih.
Anwar denies interfering in the corruption investigations. With Muhyiddin facing trial, Hamza Zainuddin is the opposition leader.
Dasar-dasar Anwar Ibrahim yang menindas rakyat serta politik dendam, Anwar harus kita lawan demi rakyat, demi negara. Bersatu!
The next fight comes in the form of 6 upcoming state elections, with Hamza's coalition aiming to stage an upset.
They don't have priority at the moment. They just want to wish hunting and they would like to condemn the opposition.
Are you content to wait another 4 or 5 years to be in the government again?
If they cannot manage and the people raise up, I think we have got no other choice but to take over.
Do you see the state elections as a barometer of whether or not the people are unhappy and, as you say, asking for a change?
Inshallah, I think we will win big in this coming election. The people are still with us and they don't believe that this current government can manage, and maybe they are just waiting for us to take over.
That is a gross misunderstanding of the electoral system and democracy as it stands. To call for the toppling of a government midterm without the legitimate true constitutional means, that would not be a responsible thing to do.
Malaysia has endured much political instability with 5 prime ministers in as many years.
Your opponents are talking about taking over the government even before the next GE. What's your take on that?
There will be some minority forces if they have to face the courts in the corruption trial. What choice do they have? They will try and unseat, hopefully to save themselves. But there is no serious challenge until now. We got the 2/3 majority.
If the opposition does well in the state elections, is there any concern over them pushing for a vote of no confidence?
They have put some pressure, but it will not in any way affect the position of the federal government.
Anwar's camp currently controls 3 of the 6 states that will go to the polls.
If they lose the states or even have their seat numbers slashed and eroded, then it will be increasingly difficult for Anwar, I believe, to put forward the institutional reforms that he intends to do.
It's early on a Wednesday morning, and the crowds have descended on one of the biggest markets in the capital, Kuala Lumpur. With its mix of cultures, Chowkit Market reflects Malaysia's social fabric. By law, all Malays are Muslim. They make up nearly 60% of citizens. Together with the other indigenous people, they are granted special status in the constitution. The rest are ethnic Chinese, Indians and other minority groups. Anwar is the first prime minister from a multiracial party in Malaysia. He has long promised equal rights for all. But it's a divisive issue in a country where politicians exploit race and religion to win votes.
We will never compromise on the principle that this is a country for all Malaysians, respective of race and creed.
It is up to us in the present government to prove a case that the future for this country is a multiracial agenda. But having said that, there are concerns about the issue of poverty over the Malays, but the solution is not race-based. Poverty is just poverty. I would not profile them according to race, but profile them according to their earnings.
So you're committed to move on from the affirmative action based on race to make it based on needs?
Yeah, I mean, very
clear. Is there still a priority?
Yes, of course. This approach would help the Malays more, because the race-based policies have been proven to be used by the few elites and their cronies to benefit themselves.
And I will use all the authority and strength at my disposal to stop this madness, this insanity of fighting against other races or other religions.
Anwar's opponents are an alliance of conservative Malay Muslim parties, strident about communal politics.
We do not want secularism. When you look at the demography, Islam is the religion of this country. Everyone can have their own faith, but at the same time, must adhere to the law of this country. There are certain things that you can't just mention about human rights in the country when the bigger numbers are the Muslims.
The upcoming state polls will show if Anwar can strengthen his Malay support base and stem the rise of conservative Islam.
InsyaAllah, kalau gerak kerja seperti mana PRU15 ini kita terjemahkan semula, tak mustahil Pulau Pinang akan mencipta suatu sejarah yang sangat-sangat besar. Takbir!
In the northern state of Penang, first-time MP Muhammad Fawaz Muhammad Jan is known as the giant killer after he handed Anwar's daughter, Nurul Izzah, a shock defeat in the last election. The constituency they contested in has long been seen as Anwar's stronghold. Fawaz is a preacher from the hardline Malaysian Islamic Party, or PAS. It has the most seats in the opposition coalition.
Kemenangan PAS dalam PRU yang ke-15 ini adalah satu kemenangan yang paling bersejarah. Sekiranya enam buah negeri ini berada dalam suasana yang seperti PRU15, dan PAS perlu mengambil tanggungjawab ini. Matlamat PAS adalah untuk menegakkan daulah Islam dengan maksud menegakkan ajaran Islam dalam sebuah negara. Jadi untuk melaksanakan perkara tersebut, pasti akan ada halangan sama ada dari sudut orang Islamnya sendiri ataupun non-Muslim sendiri. Kepelbagaian budaya ini berlaku di dalam Malaysia dan ada sebahagian kepelbagaian budaya ini yang bercanggah dengan ajaran Islam. Kebanyakan yang ditakuti oleh non-Muslim pada hari ini, undang-undang syariah ini akan dikenakan kepada non-Muslim. Sekiranya PAS mentadbir Malaysia, adakah undang-undang sivil dan undang-undang syariah ini akan dikuatkuasakan?
What's the difference between your approach to Islam compared to that of your political opponents?
It has been there for 1,000 years between more extreme fanatics. I'm not calling all of them extreme and fanatics. Some are quite reasonable. But I think the trend is worrying.
Now, the constitution protects the special position of Malays and Islam. That runs contrary to the idea of genuine equality for all races and for everyone. So how do you go about actually implementing policies that are fair for all?
You swear as President of the United States on the Bible. Does it mean that therefore you disallow those who believe in the Quran? Why must it be seen to be divisive? Unless you take up policies or in your rhetoric, you continue to abuse or discriminate, which I will not do.
Malaysian politicians have played the race and religion cards, especially on social media, to win votes. A quick search online throws up a slew of posts from known politicians with hateful racial overtones that we won't show to avoid amplifying them.
We have been labelled as communists, we have been labelled as pro-Jewish, we have been labelled everything, extremists, chauvinists and all that.
Anthony Lok is one of Anwar's most important allies. He leads a Chinese dominant party with the most number of seats in their coalition.
But that does not mean that we are just a Chinese party. In our ranks and files, we have different ethnic groups. We have different leaders from different racial background. We must continue to fight against this extremism of using race and religion. And the way to fight them is not to become more racist than them. We just have to deliver better than them.
Yeah, simple logo.
Some of the most vicious and viral attacks are on TikTok, a social media platform popular with the young. Half of the electorate nationwide are below 40 years old. Baby, I could wear the type. And the opposition, Perikatan Nasional, has also tapped on TikTok to better connect with young voters.
They were more emotive. They were able to reach out, I think, to what the youth found to be exciting and interesting. The message kept perpetuating. The same message, the simple message, was used repeatedly over and over again to display that the young people themselves were the ones who were sharing the content, making the content.
I've shared from the beginning on the importance of investing in TikTok. I remember then a lot said that TikTok was merely for budak-budak or for children, which I humbly disagree.
It's an I told you so moment from Syed Sadiq, a member of parliament and a social media superstar.
Tenaga hijau elektrik kepada lebih 25,000 buah rumah bawah 90 saat. Let's go.
When they talk about race and religion, we talk about issues. Who will provide good jobs for you? Who will ensure that Malaysia becomes a developed country?
In 2018, Sadiq became Malaysia's youngest minister at the age of 25 and successfully fought to lower the minimum voting age from 21 to 18. He co-founded a youth-centric party in 2020 after the government collapsed and he refused to take sides. Sadiq has about 1 million followers on TikTok, more than any other elected politician in Malaysia.
Semua banjir lagi kerana hakisan pantai dan air pasang.
Even if you're not on TikTok, there'll be someone who'll share your TikTok video on your WhatsApp groups, family WhatsApp groups, in which can be shared across different platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So it has actually captured a lot of generations all in one basket.
Saya merupakan salah seorang mangsa aku.
Despite his online influence, Sadiq finds it challenging to thrive in Malaysia's political landscape.
Malaysian politics is still largely dominated by establishment politics, linked to political families, largely established political parties with deep roots in the politics of patronage or ethnicity and race and religion. The best way to move forward is to ensure that young people knock the door, and if the door is not open, you kick the door open.
The need to connect with the young is vital for the new Prime Minister. I meet two first-time voters who helped Anwar's opponents unseat his daughter as an MP. Their parents had long supported Anwar's party, but they were drawn to the campaign of past candidate Muhammad Fawaz.
Berkenaan dengan social media, terutamanya TikTok, apa yang dibawa oleh Ustaz Fawaz ni lebih kepada menyentuh hati, memberi pengajaran kepada anak-anak muda lah. Saya ada didedahkanlah berkenaan dengan reformasi. Tapi lama kelamaan sikap reformasi tadi tu ataupun slogan reformasi tadi tu, dia semakin lemah, semakin hanyut.
Daripada zaman ayah, ibu ayah saya lagi, masalah banjir
yang tak berkesudahan.
Yang tak berkesudahan sampai sekarang lah, kalau kata hujan lebat ke, sampai sekarang banjir. Slogan reformasi tu bagi saya tak ada apa kot. Saya student, so saya tak berapa ada sangat. Macam tak berapa ada duit, so kos sara hidup saya tinggi. Macam kita nak tangani, macam mana kita
solusi lah.
Cari satu solusi.
You know, your calls for reformasi was very much a part of your political career, but when we talk to some of the younger people, it doesn't resonate with them. How would you try to gain ground with that crowd?
We have the, of course, the means to disseminate the information, get to understand. But I don't want them to understand history. They should understand reform and the imperative for reform because of the urgency and the necessity now to implement and to effect change. My message to them, as I felt when I was young, we have a role. Do your best. Save this country and seek the truth.
With a post-pandemic economy in the trenches, Anwar has to prioritize bread and butter issues for Malaysia. He also has to stave off political threats while delivering his long-promised reform agenda. Balancing these demands will be key to his government lasting a full term and beyond.